Thank you for joining us on the inaugural episode of the In the Cloud podcast with Brad Anderson. In this episode, we look at Brad's recent post on the Cloud OS. We're going to talk about what it is, what it looks like, and how it works. If you want to get a head start and read the whole post, you can go to aka.ms/in the cloud. We're excited to be in the studio today. This is going to be fun. Thanks, everyone, for joining us on the In the Cloud podcast. So from lovely downtown Redmond, I don't know if Redmond has a downtown, but if there's theme music, it's official. Brad, thanks for being here.
Looking forward to this.
So we episode one here. I feel like if on our grandfather's generation, we might be hitting the bow of something with a magnum of champagne, but there's soundproof walls everywhere in here, so nothing is going to break at all. But thanks for coming, and I think this is going to be great.
Yeah, let's go.
So your blog has been getting a lot of attention, and you're also on Twitter at InTheCloudMSFT. You're also doing this podcast. I think it's great to see a senior Microsoft executive who's doing something like this. Tell us what you have in mind by being out here answering questions, taking on these topics.
You know, I think it actually gives us an opportunity to have a dialogue with the industry about what our point of view is, what we think we're differentiated on. And it just gives me an opportunity to just kind of talk and have this conversation about the innovations and the inventions we're doing and just kind of bring awareness to that.
Right. Now, you travel all over the world for keynotes, whether it's TechEd or MMS coming up in Vegas, and you're all over the place. You always take the time to get to know the people who are there and the implementers who are using these products. So one of the things I thought I'd do on these first few episodes is just ask some get-to-know-Brad questions. Is that all right?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so considering this is the first episode, let's talk about some firsts.
Okay.
Tell us about your first job.
My first job, 8 years old. We had a newspaper route in our family. Actually, this newspaper route was in our family for about 15 years.
And, so it's a legacy route.
Yeah, exactly. But I was the youngest of four, and at 8 years old, I was delivering 100 newspapers in Salt Lake City, crossing the most busy street four times, as an 8-year-old kid with 100 newspapers on my bike.
My goodness! All in one bike.
Yeah.
Wow. So it was just like pack mule style with all those.
Yeah, I think it was probably like a whopping 50 pounds. You know, maybe when I was soaking wet.
All right, so that was on a bike. Tell us about your first car.
First car. When I turned 16, my parents had a Datsun 200SX that, you couldn't say it was a new car, but I think I was the third of the brothers. I have three brothers. I think I was the third of us to drive that car, but
so it had been broken in by the time you got it.
It was well worn. It was well broken in.
All right,
and I got to say, I think I broke it in even more.
So we're kind of progressing here. So tell us then about first date.
First date, sophomore year in high school, homecoming. I was 15 years old, so I couldn't drive. And my second brother, who was a junior in college at the time, took me to dinner. Me and my date to the dinner, took us to the dance. Actually came into the dance, which was about as embarrassing as you can get. And I guess I can't be grateful for the fact that he did drive around the block when he dropped me off to walk my date to the door.
That's a good brother.
Yeah.
So he was the chauffeur for the evening.
Chauffeur and chaperone, I think.
So let's think even past that. So tell us about the first concert you went to.
With the same brother. We went and saw 38 Special.
Wow.
With Alda Nova opening for 38 Special when I was about 12.
Man, that sounded like a pretty decent show, actually.
I still remember it.
Wow. And let's do one more, and then let's get serious. First dance, besides the electric slide, what was the first dance that you and your wife had at your wedding?
You know, we didn't do any dancing at our wedding. I got to say, I got about as little rhythm as humanly possible.
Well, I think the electric slide is specially built for people with that issue.
Well, you know, I guess I better learn that because I actually have no rhythm at all.
Well, there are a lot of things that you are super good at. So let's dive right into this topic of the Cloud OS. Your post you had a post last week on that topic. It got a lot of attention. So let's start talking about that today. And first and foremost, I want to know, what is it that makes a Cloud OS so important? And by that, I mean, is it the advanced state of the industry, or is it key customer challenges or customer needs that have evolved?
You know, I think the biggest fundamental change that we're seeing come with cloud computing is the responsibility and the nature of what the operating system has to do is significantly different. You know, for years and years and years, the responsibility of the operating system was basically to provide an application platform and a hardware abstraction layer for a server, for a single server.
Right.
But now it's providing that application platform and that abstraction layer at the data center level. You know, and that's the whole concept of a cloud. You move from thinking about, you know, a single server and deploying an app to a single server to you think about this fabric made of compute and storage and network. And that fundamentally is just different in terms of what the expectation of the operating system is. And so when we talk about the cloud operating system and what is unique about what Microsoft brings to the picture here, we operate the world's largest services, you know, many of the world's largest platforms, with Windows Azure, which is based on Windows Server. You know, you have one of the world's largest public clouds in the world. And we learn like crazy. You know, the developers that are building Windows Azure are the same developers that build Windows Server. The same developers that build Office 365 are the same developers that build and deploy and operate, you know, the Exchange and the SharePoint that you use on premise. And all that learning that we get from operating and deploying and building these cloud services gets delivered through our cloud OS to customers and partners to run their own data centers. That's unique. No one else in the market is doing that.
What do you think Microsoft has done? What do you think it is about the company that gives us that unique position to be able to, you know, have these people who are building these products also out deploying them?
A couple of years ago, Steve had a keynote where he basically said, listen, this cloud thing, man, we're all in. And we are all in. You know, we're in one of the largest transitions ever in the industry as the industry transitions to cloud computing. So first of all, cloud computing is a model of computing. It's not a location. So cloud computing can be in your data centers and a partner data centers in our data centers. But we are helping the world to embrace cloud computing. And we think that that's one of the things that we've historically done very, very well is taking these significant trends and help make it approachable and help make it usable for anyone. You know, you can call it democratizing, if you will. But our ability to basically make a bet and to place and make a bet of building out your own public cloud, you're talking about a multi-billion dollar kind of bet and a multi-billion type of investment. And there's only a handful of companies in the world that can make that investment. Okay, and certainly Microsoft is one of those. But then another thing that makes us different and unique is we also then deliver the operating system, the same operating system that we use to run our cloud, our public cloud. We deliver that to our service provider partners, to our customers who run it in their data centers around the world. And we have a promise of consistency across those three clouds. So we take the learning from this incredible investment we've made in public cloud and this incredible investment we've made in cloud services, and then deliver that in a consistent way for service providers and for traditional organizations that, you know, that are building up their own private clouds to run. And that's unique.
So with that in mind, I mean, let's get specific about, you know, what components are necessary to develop an IT strategy like this one.
The things that I would think about in terms of what organizations need to think about, first of all, you need to make the decision, are you going to build your own private cloud? Are you going to be using cloud capacity coming from a service provider partner, from a public cloud? And the reality is, you know, 90% plus of the organizations that I talk to tell me they're going to be in a hybrid cloud environment. Okay, so first of all, what is going to be your all-up cloud strategy? Building your own, leveraging that from partners, leveraging Microsoft's. Then you need to think about, okay, I want to have the flexibility. And this is actually one of the number one things I hear is, I do not want to be locked into a cloud. No cloud lock-in. I want to be able to place my applications, my services in the cloud that makes the most sense. I want to be able to have it running in one place, and if I need to burst out to another, if I actually want to move it to another, I need to ensure that I have compliance, and if there's issues like, you know, regulatory issues I have to be concerned about, I want to make sure that I meet all that criteria while I'm leveraging all this cloud capacity. So first of all, what is your cloud strategy? Private, public, hosted, most likely hybrid. Then getting specific upon what applications or services you want to place in which of those clouds to begin with the flexibility of being able to move across clouds as needed. I think those are really kind of at the highest level, the fundamental building parts of your strategy. Then you get specific in terms of, okay, I have to have a great fabric controller, and that's the piece that I'm going to actually build all my compute, storage, and networking capabilities onto my own data center. What's the administrative experience that I'm going to have that allows me to span private, public, hosted? And what is going to be my developer's strategy in terms of, you know, am I going to build some apps that run natively in the cloud in a PaaS model? How am I going to take advantage of the cloud from a development standpoint and then follow that all the way through to the IT pro?
Something you said that reminded me of a conversation that I had just down the hall the other day, which was about the cloud OS being a lot more than just infrastructure.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot more to it. I mean, could you dive into that a little bit?
You know, with the cloud OS, we talk about, we believe there are four big, big promises that the Cloud OS delivers on. You know, first of all, we believe that it allows you to reimagine what your data center is and allows you to really fundamentally change how your data center operates. And that's what most people think about when they think about the cloud. But we also think that it enables you to get insights from any data. And with all of the data that's being generated around the world, and think of all the data exhaust that's being generated in logs and stuff around the world, getting the insights that allow you to advance your business and to competitively differentiate, that insight from any data is the second promise of a cloud OS. We think the cloud OS has to enable you to embrace the trends around the consumerization, enable your users to be productive on all their devices. And that's the third promise that we talk about in terms of the cloud OS, of enabling what we call people-centric IT. And then finally, we're seeing all these new development processes and ways, agile development and the advent of DevOps. You know, reimagining your app lifecycle is the fourth promise that the cloud OS delivers on. So reimagining your data center, getting insights from any kind in all of your data, enabling people-centric IT and embracing the consumerization trends, and fourth, embracing these new app development and app lifecycle models, that is, I think we think of the four promises of the cloud OS.
The last question I have then is in regards to there being a lot of cloud-based options around the industry right now. Why would you say is the best reason to make this bet on Microsoft's cloud OS?
I think there are four big reasons. The first is flexibility. Second, experience. Third is workloads. And the fourth is economics. Okay, first, flexibility. We've made a promise to the industry that we will guarantee consistency across the clouds. So consistent VMs, consistent APIs, consistent management across public, private, hosted. We're doing that. VMware cannot do that. Amazon cannot do that.
That's right.
Okay. Second, I talked about experience. We operate, and every day we build, deploy, and operate many of the world's largest services and one of the world's largest public clouds. I can guarantee you that the engineers that build the products that we're shipping to you to run in your data centers are better because those same engineers also build, deploy, and operate these large-scale cloud services. And again, we do that. Amazon does not do that. VMware does not do that. The third is workloads. One of the things about Microsoft is the majority of the workloads, the apps that most customers actually run on their Windows servers, more than 50% of those come from Microsoft.
Wow.
And so the same teams that, for example, build Exchange Online or Office 365 is the same team that delivers all the knowledge that allows our Cloud OS, System Center, and Windows Server to operate and manage your deployment of SharePoint or your deployment of Exchange. So when you go with the Microsoft option, you get all that experience, all that knowledge around our workloads, which again, no one else in the industry can do, because our belief is the team or the product that builds the product should also deliver the knowledge about how that product should be built, deployed, and operated. And the fourth is economics. You know, if you take a look at our price points, you take a look at the value that we bring to you, especially on premises and in your private cloud and hosted cloud, we are able to give you all these capabilities at a fraction of the cost that, say, VMware can do that. So flexibility, experience, workloads, and economics. I think those are huge, huge, unique differentiators for Microsoft.
Brad, thanks for being here today. We'll do this every week.
Sounds good.
So everyone, if you want to keep in touch, you can subscribe to the blog at aka.ms/inthecloud and also follow on Twitter at InTheCloudMSFT. And until next time, thanks for joining us today on the In the Cloud podcast.